At the near end of the academy training grounds, the youngest students were practicing force leaps, stepping to the mark with knitted brows, then launching themselves one after the other over a 3-meter cross ray. Some of the children in line noticed Luke and Mara emerging from the access tunnel and began to point and whisper. So Luke made a show of nodding approval as the next few jumpers cleared the beam. "These are the Wudus," Luke explained to their guest, Aristocrat Chaff Orm Bintrani of the Chiss Ascendancy. "They're our youngest students."
"How young are they?"
"The Wudus are generally between 5 and 7 years old, Formby," Mara said, calling the Aristocrat by his core name. "Though that varies by species. Some mature at markedly different rates."
"Yes. Well, we wouldn't have that problem in the Ascendancy."
Formby folded his hands behind his back and peered across the running track at the children.
"But I'm sure you didn't summon me here to discuss Jedi training techniques."
"As a matter of fact, we did," Luke said. "We want you to understand what goes into the training of a modern Jedi."
"Hoping to impress me so much that I'll persuade the ruling circle to let you handle the Korribu problem?" Formby asked.
"Precisely," Mara said. "And it was an invitation, not a summons."
"The conflict is of no concern to the Galactic Alliance."
Formby's tone was deceptively relaxed.
"Why do the Jedi insist on involving themselves?"
"The Jedi serve the Force," Luke replied. "Our concerns reach well beyond the Galactic Alliance."
Formby's gaze grew hard. "Into the Ascendancy?"
"Into the colony, at least," Luke said.
"You understand nothing about the colony," Formby said, almost absently. "If you did, you would leave it to us."
"We understand that what you're doing at Korribu comes close to violating Chiss law," Mara said, "unless the Ascendancy has bent from 1,000 years of tradition."
"A lot has changed in the Ascendancy."
Formby's voice grew resigned.
"But not that. It remains unlawful for the Chiss to be the aggressor people."
"I've always admired that about the Ascendancy," Luke said.
"In truth, I find it rather quaint," Formby replied. "But having no desire to find myself exiled, I'll follow the law, even if it means the destruction of the Ascendancy itself."
"Your devotion is admirable," Mara said, "as is your courage, which is why I'm so puzzled about the Chiss fear of Killix."
"If you are puzzled, it is only because you are ignorant of the colony's true nature."
"Then enlighten us," Luke said. "The sooner the Jedi understand the situation, the sooner we will find a solution and end our presence in Korribu."
"And if there is no solution?"
"It would be better to discover that now," Luke said, "before any more of our Jedi become like Raynar." Formby frowned.
"Who is Raynar?"
"Raynar Thul," Mara said. "He went MIA during the war. He was presumed dead, but apparently his ship crashed inside the colony. A nest of Killix rescued him and saved his life," Luke said.
"Saved his life?"
Formby sounded surprised.
"When did this Raynar come up missing? About 6 years ago?"
"Close." Luke began to have a sinking feeling. "It was a little over 7.
"I see."
Formby's gaze turned inward.
"That explains it."
"Explains what?" Mara demanded.
"The Defense Fleet Reconnaissance Corps has been watching the colony for centuries," Formby said. "It has been slowly expanding over time, but it wasn't considered a threat."
"Until recently," Mara surmised.
"Correct," Formby said. "The first satellite nests appeared on our border, and we began to notice an exponential population increase. Imagine our surprise when we learned that now they had hospitals to care for their ailing and were using interstellar trade to alleviate the cyclic food shortages that once kept their populations in check."
"And that frightened the Ascendancy into sending your defoliators to give nature a helping hand?" Mara asked.
"No, we didn't make that decision until later, after we had discovered how dangerous they were."
Formby hesitated a moment.
"Didn't you know about the joiners?" Luke asked. We took precautions, Formby said. Very stringent precautions. That still didn't work, Mara surmised. They worked, Formby replied, until someone started sabotaging them. The Killix? Luke asked. Formby frowned. We value fools no more than the Jedi, Master Skywalker. The precautions remain solely under our control. There was a moment of silence. Then Luke asked, And? We don't really understand, Formby admitted. All we know is that the precautions broke down, and before we realized it, two entire families had become joiners. R2-D2 emitted a piercing shriek. Then his holoprojector activated, and a fuzzy image of Leia appeared on the ground in front of him. For a moment, Luke thought that it was the old message she had recorded for Obi-Wan. Then he noticed that she was dressed in a white jumpsuit instead of a ceremonial gown, and her hair was falling loose down her back instead of being gathered in those ear buns she used to wear. Luke? Her voice was scratchy and barely audible.
Are you there?
Yes, Luke answered. R2, where's this coming from? I know it's being relayed through the Academy holonet transceiver, Luke said. Leia, where are you?
Luke, can't you? But it's important. The Killick attacked Saba. Stowaways on. We think after you. And maybe Ben.
Stowaways? Mara gasped. An image of their son holding an empty container of gel meat flashed from her mind to Luke's. Then she was racing toward the exit. Ben! Ben!